Hello everyone to the next episode of the Keto Chapters. I don't know what episode it is. I don't know whether you can hear Coco licking the microphone. Yeah, Coco is our not so new puppy.
Right, come on then.
So, yeah, this episode is more about me because I haven't had my episode yet. And I don't know who told me that, but they were like, you need to film an episode. And I was like, all right then.
So have you got the questions to ask yourself?
Well, no, but it's not questions. It's okay. Just a story, and you'll probably chip in when you think or when you can add to what happened.
Okay.
But the problem is I can't figure out where starts.
To start.
We had and I have the exact photo.
Do we? Yeah.
Of the plate of food that you gave me.
Oh, okay.
And
you had a meltdown.
Yeah. One of many. my young teenage self was known for my meltdowns.
Yeah, you did have quite a lot of meltdowns. Excuse you.
Because there's a common theme throughout this is that I stress a lot. That was the food.
Okay, so
cauliflower
cheese.
So that is it's a cauliflower cheese, but it's a pasta bake type thing because I didn't eat a lot of cauliflower back then.
Right.
And it's a chicken goujon.
Chicken, no, it's a
breaded chicken. Not like Kiev, but
yeah, okay,
yeah, you know what I mean.
Okay, yeah.
But that plate was 900 calories.
Oh, okay.
And you know how I know that is because I was tracking.
Yeah.
Which is where the story begins, really. But because it was 900 calories, and this, I wanted to talk about food rules. So it's a common thing. I do need to put a disclaimer probably at the beginning of the episode saying if you do have a disordered relationship with food, then maybe this isn't the episode for you. It's like a trigger warning almost. Not that I was diagnosed with an eating disorder, but I certainly didn't have a healthy relationship with it. And one of my food rules was, and I remember this, when I was 13 and I started tracking, breakfast would be 200 calories.
Right.
Lunch would be 400, dinner would be 600, and dessert would be 200.
Right, okay.
Dinner I would allow myself up to 600 because you would normally do anything between 400 and 600.
Yeah.
And when you gave me a 900 calorie plate,
yeah,
I lost it.
Yeah. I suppose, but that was...
But that's the thing, you found it funny. And I now, looking back at it, I'm finding it funny. But moment...
I can sort of see where your stress came from.
But you know, I stress a lot. And I did a lot back then. And, and what Ian was talking about earlier today, letting go.
Mm.
That's helped massively. Anyway, that's where,
so
where the story starts.
You were tracking at what age?
13.
Right, okay.
Or 14, around that time. It was the beginning, it was the beginning of 2017.
You were 15 then.
I was 14, 14 turning
14,
15.
You were 14 at the beginning of 2017.
Just turned 14. Because I remember I started my first bullet journal at the same time. So I was saying I'm going to be really organized. I'm going to get fit and all of that. 14-year-old me in health and fitness class. I think that's maybe where it started. I don't know. I don't know where the urge for tracking came from.
Well, you like to plan, and it worked really well for you with school.
Yeah.
And that was your best year at school, really, wasn't it? Oh, it was certainly leading into
it. It set me up for the best years of... Yeah.
Getting organized in whatever year that was set you up for what you achieved at school.
Mm.
Because you did probably the best part of 2 years' worth of work in that year. Because it was every single day. You were very...
I didn't give myself a break.
No. No.
And that's, again, that there's a lot of things that when you look back at it, you realise why I've had... Sorry, she just sat there. I mean, how is that comfy? I don't understand.
I'm holding her
She's
legs.
She's falling asleep.
Holding her legs. So she just wants to have a little snooze on my knee.
Oh, I've lost my trail of thought. Oh, yeah. So, planning was really successful for me, and I still use it to the day.
So, planning your exams or planning your revision is the good part about this.
Mm-hmm. The problem was the tracking was also a success because I lost half a stone
right
over the course of that year.
Yeah.
I must have grown at least of an inch since then. So I was under 5 foot. So half a stone is quite a lot. Because when I was wearing my bridesmaid's dress, was that 2017 or 2018? 2017. No, because 2018 I was keto, and I wasn't keto at the wedding.
Really?
Because I ate pastries all day. It was great.
Okay.
But when I was in that bridesmaid's dress, I was 7'7".
Right, okay.
And that was the lightest on Fitbit that I've got. Obviously, when I was like 10, I was a bit lighter than that. But yeah. And then I stayed between 7'7" and 8'0" to 8'1", right the way through until when would it have been? May 2020.
Right, okay.
So already that's setting off alarm bells that 16/almost 17-year-old me weighs the same as 14-year-old me.
Hmm.
But I don't know. I hid it. Because you didn't know much about it until I had that breakdown and I had to write you a letter.
Mm. Yeah.
So if anyone's watching this and trying to figure out how to get the kid to tell him something, I wrote you a letter.
Yeah.
And then ran upstairs and read a book. But, and I was grappling about whether to say this or not. But then I thought, wait, it's stupid not to say it, because not saying it is like that it's like a taboo. Yeah. Because and the problem is I had no idea what was happening, and not until last year, when I was actually getting into, you know, and I did a load of research, that I found out I had amenorrhea, as the Americans call it. I don't know whether it's said differently in the British, but everyone is American, so I'm just, yeah. But amenorrhea is basically you lose your period for 3 months or more. Now, when I was researching this, I was 3 years down the line.
Yeah.
And the thing is that I'd been to the doctors since... her snoring is really putting me off. Since August of 2017.
Right, you're going to have to go on the sofa because...
Okay, she's so sleepy, she's so dozy. Where was I? Oh, yeah, I first went to the doctors in August of 2017, only a few months after I told you,
because
for the first half a year, I just kept it to myself. I was like, oh, well, it'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't associated the fact that I was restricting my calories to 1,000 to 1,200 a day, that might have been the cause.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was stressing myself out with my to-do list, expecting myself to do so much. But when I went to the doctors in August 2017, I just got, wait a bit longer.
Yeah.
It'll come back. And I was like, okay. They seemed very confident, so I seemed very confident.
Did they do a blood test at that time?
No.
Okay.
So then it got to the end of 2017, so now a year has gone by. And I go, okay, I'd heard of my friends missing a period for like 6 months. It's normal when you're 13, 14. I was a year in and I was like, okay, I'll go back to the doctors. And you were like, okay, we'll go back to the doctors. Again, 10-minute appointment.
Mm.
Wait 6 more months and then come back. So then it was June of 2018 and I was sitting my GCSEs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they go, let's do a blood test. I'm like, fantastic. We're going to get some answers.
Oh, actually, yeah.
So they take a blood test a couple of months before my GCSEs. Guess what came back?
You were stressed.
Oh, you're stressed. I'm like, really? Really? And then so I was like, okay, so it's stress. It's stress levels. That's it. And it was only, what's the hormone called? Prolactin?
Yes.
Something about that. It was 600.
Yeah.
And it should be between 300 and 400. And the only thing they said is, well, thankfully it's not in the thousands because that would indicate a brain tumor. And I was like, okay. And off you go. So GCSEs. So that by that point I was keto. So we had already ruled out, and when I went to go see the best doctor we've had for yeah. this, and the last one I saw, he immediately thought, okay, maybe it's something to do with lifestyle. So I said I was keto. Then I also said, however, I was not keto for the first year. So it can't have been.
Yeah. Keto. Yeah. The start of it, yeah.
I remember when I first started transitioning to low carb, we kind of said to each other, maybe this could help. You know, you're eating more whole foods. Mm. My diet was crap.
You're eating more salmon.
Yeah. But I was also relying on more low carb products.
Yes.
Although I was low carb for a couple of years before the last year just gone, I wasn't fully, I would say, ketogenic until 2020, but I'll get to that in a minute.
You were definitely dirty keto, weren't you?
Yeah, definitely dirty keto / low carb. And my first couple of months of keto, in quotations, was me using the gluten-free wraps instead of the normal wraps. And then I moved to the Joseph's Lavash, the soy ones, instead of gluten-free ones. So I'd had the first blood test. So I was a year and a half in, and I'd had one blood test. And the only thing that came back was, you've got high prolactin levels. And they said, don't worry, it's really normal to be stressed around GCSEs. In a couple of months, it'll go down. I was like, fantastic. So then it got to the end of August. Mid-August. And we were like, right, let's book another appointment, let's get another blood test. And they said, yep, fine. And when was the next blood test? Do you remember?
No.
It was on results day. So talk about scientific anomalies. Oh, the one day that, and so it was after I'd got my results.
Right, okay.
So I passed with really good results. Obviously, I was really nervous in the coming weeks. I was like, oh my God. And this is me. You know how I like control, right? And stress about tiniest things. So the doctors had told me my stress levels were high. Mm. So then for the next 4 months, I was stressing about how my stress levels were high. So then in the week coming up to GCSEs, I was stressing because of GCSEs, and then I was stressing because I was getting stressed. Mm. I was like, oh, I know that's not good for me. So do you remember coming in? I remember you were PTing the night before results day, and you came in and there was 50 cookies on the table.
You used to bake stress.
I stress baked like so much. We were full for weeks after that. Freezer was chocker with like cakes and all keto. Because I was keto at that point. So I was knocking out loads of recipes. It was great.
Yeah. 4 kilos of ground almonds a week.
Yeah. I mean, it was probably an expensive week, but you know. And then you took me out for dinner on results day. I mean, but anyway, I got my results. 3 hours later, I'm lying in the doctor's office getting another blood test. And they're a whole ordeal for me because.
Such a palaver getting blood out of you.
I need to research. I need to do more research about. I swear I've got some sort of like phobia.
It's easier to get blood out of a stone.
I'm fine getting injections, but getting blood because.
So you're fine with a vaccine injection?
Yeah. Absolutely fine because you don't use the squeezy thing. It's the squeezy thing. It's not the blood. It's the squeeze that they. Well,
we need to book a chat with Ian for that.
Yeah, no, that's. No, because I. Even thinking about it, I have to like be cautious not to go. Ugh. Anyway, so I got my second blood test on results day. So that would have been GCC is after A levels, isn't it? So it's the week after my 16th birthday.
Yeah. You weren't 16 when you got your results. Oh no, you were. You were just 16.
A levels was the day before my birthday. And they came back. Prolactin levels were normal.
Yeah.
I was like, fantastic. So why hasn't anything changed? So yes, I'm not denying that probably stress was a part of it. But also as I got talking to other doctors, prolactin levels change all the time. As shown by when they took the tests. And obviously they took the test when they could take the test. I can't just pick any random slot, but the two times that they were taken were probably the worst comparison times to have.
Yeah, I suppose.
And then I can't remember the next appointment, but I know, obviously, I was heading into sixth form then, and at some point in sixth form, I had an ultrasound, because at that point, they suspected PCOS. Mm-hmm. That came back normal. I'm sure they did another test. I had more blood tests.
You had another blood test at gynae.
Yeah. Did I have two more?
No, I think you just had one more blood test at gynae.
I had one more where they did everything, and we went to Corby twice. That was with my the male doctor,
yeah.
who was the best.
Yeah.
Well, I saw him the most. But again, at that point, I think at that point, when the ultrasound came back and there was nothing, and I was like, well, I'm 2 years on keto. And keto is renowned to help people with PCOS. Mm. So chances are that's not the issue. And also, I don't know the ins and outs, but PCOS symptoms is usually not a complete absence of periods. It's normally really irregular, really painful, or whatever. It didn't suit what, and I didn't have any like facial hair or whatever, you know, all the symptoms.
Yeah, the other symptoms.
Nothing at all would relate to me. They're just like, well, take it off, and then we can just say that you don't have it. Mm. So yeah, at that point, and so I had tracked calories more than anything. So even so, I had tracked before keto. I had a fear of fat. Mm-hmm. And I think you remember this because at one point I had a breakdown when you were serving up lamb keema. Again, it makes me laugh now, but I was like, no, I need more rice and less lamb keema because the lamb keema has more fat and I don't have enough carbs for today. And then Louis would go over to Sainsbury's and, you know, get the desserts. And I'd say, as long as it's not the shortbread.
Yes, because that's high fat.
Yeah. That's got 8 grams of, I still remember, eight grams of saturated fat, Louis. You can't do that. Get the apple pie instead. So my macros before then, I was aiming for like 60% carb, or so 50 to 60% carb. And then I was trying to match the percentages of fat and protein. So 25-25. But that meant me using, so I switched my cereal for porridge in the morning because that was higher carb.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I wasn't hitting my protein target, I put a scoop of soy protein powder in the porridge. Remember that?
I do indeed.
With soy milk. Yeah. So I had been tracking. I had a streak on my fitness pal of over 700 days or something.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
And I remember the day I was like, I told you because you knew I was tracking, but I don't think you knew how obsessive it was.
No, not to that point.
Why did you think I was tracking? From an outside point of view.
I don't know, really. I never pretty put much thought to it as to why you were tracking. I didn't think you were tracking as religiously and as obsessively as you were.
Mm. I was thinking about this. You know how I was very picky before keto? So I pretty much ate the same things every day.
Yeah.
So why I felt the compulsion to track every single day when I was eating
was I had
one scoop of protein powder in whatever amount of oats every single day. Yeah. I had 20 grams of cheese on a bagel with some ham and spinach every single day with 10 grapes and a cereal bar. I didn't have 11 grapes one day. One day I had 30 grams of cheese and I really freaked out.
Yeah.
I mean... That kind of shows that maybe I can't put a label on it because I never went to anyone who could put a label on it.
Okay, no, I get it.
I'm kind of glad that it didn't have a label.
There's a bit of an obsession there, but you were aware of it and were able to break the cycle.
So at 700 and something days, I turn around to you and say, because at this point I was keto, but I was still tracking, and I think I kind of put it across as saying, oh, I want to make sure I'm eating enough fat. Mm. The one thing keto did. Keto's done a lot of things for me. One of them was getting rid of the fear of fat. Mm. So yeah, I remember saying to you, I'm gonna stop tracking, and you were like, okay. And it throughout this story, you always frustrated me when you were just like, okay, do that then.
It's your choice.
No, but you'll see what I mean in a minute. So okay. I mean so okay. I stopped tracking. When was that? Must have been several months before I went to the doctors again, and they decided to put me on the pill. So that was
Force the period, basically, wasn't it? Or trying to just kickstart.
So I think that was February 23?
Sounds about right. Yes, sounds about right.
Because May stands out in my head. I think I did a 3-month thing, and they said, so they gave me 3 months worth of tablets, and they said you can either come off them at 3 months or stay on them for 6 months and then come off them then.
Mm.
I wish I'd have done the 6 months to start with, because maybe it would have done something sooner, because I had, had then a whole load of drama. So I was on the pill for 3 months, and then I came off them, and that first 3 months were fine. I don't remember any really bad side effects from it,
mm-hmm.
aside from the fact that I gained half a stone.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize I gained half a stone because I stopped weighing and I stopped tracking. I thought I was free from all the numbers until I stepped. Summer holidays came around, and
yeah, I remember this.
So this was in the middle of year 12 and year 13. So we have a dress code at school. So you are allowed, you're not wearing uniform, but business dress. So I had like my sixth form wardrobe, just like you have a sixth form, like school uniform. And I was trying on different outfits, even though they're the same clothes. For some reason, I thought I would try on different outfits and try and mix it up that year. And then I realized how I couldn't fit in half of my trousers and my dresses. They were slim fitted, and I didn't want to wear them now because they looked horrible. And even my tights were getting uncomfortable. I was like, what has happened? And then I looked on the scales, and it said 8 stone 7 or something.
Okay.
Now, even now, I'm like, It's fine. There's nothing. That's probably a healthier weight than when I was 7 stone 7, and it's pretty normal to be a stone heavier than your 14-year-old self. Yes. But I freaked out. And then I remember the manic shopping trips that we had to try and find a pair of trousers. And all right, I've always been awkward to shop for because
it's midget size.
So yeah, I went to year 13 basically wearing baggy trousers and baggy jumpers.
Yeah.
And that was it. I was quite happy because I quite like baggy clothes anyway, but also I was pretty miffed that I couldn't fit into like my nice dresses and stuff. So this was when we met, what's his name? Stephen?
Who are you talking about?
Stuart. Dr. Stuart.
Oh, right. Okay.
So that was probably, October holidays. So October 2019. It would have been before then. It would have been August, because October 2019 was my first, you know, the set of four photos I took. That was the first one. Right. And I was on the tablets at that point.
Right, okay.
So went to talk to him and basically said, look, I was on the pill for 3 months, nothing happened, what do I do? So he was like, we'll put you back on it and see how you do. I had been From the first lot of doctors that gave me the first set of pills, they basically described this as a jump start.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, we're hoping that you take these, it suppresses all of your, well, they didn't say that, but it gives your body the hormones it needs,
mm-hmm.
so that it can almost act like a jump start, so that when you come off them, your body produces the ones that it would have been given.
Yep.
Didn't tell me that what I was experiencing wasn't actually periods.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't tell me that it would suppress all of my hormones. And they didn't tell me, I asked if there were any side effects, and they told me none that I need to be worried about.
Yeah.
I then read the side effects leaflet, and I was like, okay, that's a bit scary. But they said there's nothing to worry about. And one of them, one that didn't appear on the leaflet, and they still, there's no claims to, or no, what to call it, no evidence to suggest a link, is weight gain. So I got put back on the tablets, and then by October I was 8 stone 12, and I was experiencing a lot of bloating, and I was low on energy, and I mean the list goes on. I was irritable, I was tired all the time, I was falling asleep in lessons. Yeah. I was hungry, I had no energy. So I went back to him in October, and he was like, we'll switch brands, and this one seems to be better in terms of, you know, not having a weight gain side effect. I was like, fantastic, thank you. I felt like for the first time someone was actually listening. So then October I got given another set. So I'd already been on the pill for 3 months after the break between the last 3 months. So I went straight on to a new one, and another 3 months pass, and I thought nothing was happening. And at the end of the Christmas holidays, I was 9 stone 5. And the bloating, I mean, in the second photo, it was unreal. It was painful. Again, I was hungry, tired, blah, blah, blah. And at that point, we'd started doing workshops. And every time I ate, I got bloated. So I barely ate at the workshops. And when I did eat, I made sure I was wearing my hoodie. So then I could just like hunch over and no one would see anything. And I remember it was on the way back from one of the workshops. I'm pretty sure it was the one we met Gemma at. Because I remember it was the London one. And again, you just saying, don't do it then. So in the car, I was having a mental breakdown as per usual.
By the tablets.
Yeah. I was like, I wish I could just come off. And I was like, you can.
You can.
And I looked at you and I was glaring at it. I was like, what do you mean I can? You're like, well, if they're not doing any good, then just come off them. And I was like, damn you for actually like saying something useful. And, you know, so that day I didn't take the tablets. And then it would have been like a month before I saw Stuart again. And I was like, look,
we got one more appointment in, didn't we, before lockdown.
I was like, look, it might not have been the best thing to do, but, you know, I came off them and was like, yeah, okay. You know, if they weren't doing any good, then yeah, not recommended, but, yeah, he seemed all right with it. Now, the problem was is that I thought immediately after not taking the tablets, my weight would just fall down and go back to normal. I don't know what I expected normal to be, whether I thought...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I remember sat in the doctor's office. He was like, you're not even overweight. And I looked at him, I was like, what do you mean? I'm 2 stone heavier than I started out. He was like, you look at the green man. And you got the NHS. Do you remember this? He was like, you put a pound on, you're orange. You take a pound off, you're green. You're not overweight. And I was looking at him and I was like, fine. As long as I feel fine. But then year 13 got really stressful. And so I don't think I saw an improvement in energy until we came, school shut down in March. But then I remember in March, as soon as the lockdown happened, I decided to get myself into a fitness routine.
Right, but it was also when you lockdown gave you the opportunity to eat when you wanted rather than eating around.
Yeah. So I was fasting every day at school because I didn't want to eat at 7 a.m. So I was fasting until 1 p.m. because the year 13s had late lunch. But some days that meant that by 10 a.m. I was hungry.
You were hungry, yeah. So you weren't able to actually do what you needed to do.
So this was one of the groundbreaking things was me listening to my hunger signals. Yeah. For the first time since I was 13.
Well, probably first time ever, really.
Yeah.
You know, prior to that, it's always been dinner is ready, come and have your dinner.
Yeah.
You know, lunch is ready, come and have your lunch. I dictated when you ate. As kids, you just eat anyway. But as an adult now, you sort of go, and I think that's what we forget sometimes as adults, we should actually sort of go off how we feel.
Yeah. And that took a long time for me because... one of the things Ian was talking about is there's no need for labels. And I remember when I first started fasting, I would say I'm doing 16-8 fasting. Mm-hmm. But then that told my brain that when I was in the 8-hour window, I could eat. And then I was eating because I could eat and not because I was hungry.
Yeah.
So I went from one extreme to the other. And finally... I've reached a balance. Yeah. No, and talking about you just going, okay. So it happened a couple of nights ago. I said, I'm tired. And I started to try and figure out why I was tired. I was like, well, I had a good night's sleep and I've eaten a lot today. And, you know, I've not done too much work. And you were like, just go to bed.
You try and just look.
I try and reason for everything.
It's like the simple answer. You're tired. Yeah, go to bed. Are you hungry? Yeah, eat. Yeah, I don't get where all of this sort of.
But this is what Ian says about in. There's no therefore. So I've said, I'm tired, so I need to get up early tomorrow to finish work because that's where my brain goes. As soon as I say I'm tired, then I'm like, right, how do I compensate?
How do I compensate? Yeah.
Whereas you just go, just go and lie down.
Go to bed because actually the work is never ending. And as much as you like to be organized, how many days. Do you complete your to-do list and go, well, that's everything done and I've done it before 8 p.m. you never do that. There's always stuff we carry over.
So I don't know where to go apart from to talk about the fact that as of March 2020, and when I started getting myself into a fitness routine, started eating properly. By eating properly, I mean I went as clean as I possibly could, because one of the side effects of coming off the tablets, which I started experiencing a couple of months into, so probably around February time, was I started getting not cramps, but just, well, cramps, but not cramps, if you know what I mean. Cramps, but I got frustrated because they weren't a cause. Yeah. I couldn't find a cause. Again, this is me just getting frustrated. And one of the causes was coffee or caffeine.
Yeah.
So I took that out. And then another cause was soy. So I took that out. Another cause was gluten. So I took that out. And basically what I was left with was a Mediterranean keto lifestyle.
Yeah.
So salmon, nuts, avocado, eggs, fish, lean meats, olive oil, coconut oil, chocolate, lava cake every day. You know, got to get the magnesium in. Basically, I focused on trying to get all of the minerals and all of the protein and, yeah, trying to eat only when I was hungry and not according to the clock, which was really hard. The hardest part was the evenings, because I'd have dessert and then I might fancy some toast, or and then I might have a, you know, so that was the hardest part. But once I, and I'm not saying got over it, because, you know, it still crops up, but I must have done something right. So from March till August, I was basically just hoping that something would happen. And then in August, for the first time in 4 years, I got my period back. And then one of the things I've written down was, you and Ian were talking about turning points this morning.
Okay.
So Ian was talking about something to do with like a health marker or something. And you were talking about the fact that the, you were drinking a glass of wine and then you just suddenly realized you didn't want it. And my turning point was realizing my body trusted me.
Okay.
Because for the last 4 years, I was depriving and then overeating and then depriving. And and I see this so often in the members groups and the public group. I'm not hungry. Should I eat? Or I'm hungry, but I don't, you know, I'm fasting.
It's a conversation putting every labels day. On it.
They're putting labels on it, but they can't. Because then you're telling your body you're depriving yourself. And the problem is that I was grappling as to whether to bring up, you know, amenorrhea and all of the hormone stuff. But every time it gets brought up in the public group, hundreds of comments.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with this too. I thought it was normal.
We know that from the chat we had in the members group a couple of weeks ago. It was nearly 80 members.
I did loads of research in the summer about this when I was trying to figure out what to do, how to beat it naturally. And there are things like female athletes who go to the doctors for their checkups and they're like, oh, I don't need to worry about my periods anymore. And it's because they're stressing themselves out so much that their bodies have just gone, right, okay, clearly we're in a stressful environment.
Yeah.
I'm trying to sift through my notes now to try and... I've got so much written down.
Do we need to come back?
No, this is a more than two-parter.
So
the point I wanted to get across is you cannot force your body to do something it doesn't want to do. So people saying, I need to lose 3 stone in 8 weeks.
Yeah.
I need to eat 1,200 calories a day and that's it. Or one of my things. So, you know, that there is no therefore. So I said, I'm tired, therefore I need to get up early tomorrow because I'm going to bed early tonight. Mm. Or I had, like, one of the things I've written down. So when we had a fry up on the weekend, I had 400 calories for breakfast. That meant there was only 200 calories for lunch. Or people saying, I had 40 carbs today, so that means I have to have zero tomorrow.
Hmm.
No, you do not.
It's funny because obviously with your early on counting, I bet you never factored in the amount of swimming that you ever did.
No. Those days I think I allowed myself like an extra 100 calories. Oh, no, it's 200 because you gave me the cheesy bagel after
Blimey.
Swimming.
Blimey.
Mm-hmm. The cheesy bagel.
Let's revisit this.
But people are going to go, oh, I didn't realise that happened.
So you're going to put the two episodes together? Are you going to do them as two separate episodes?
Oh, no, this will just be a part one. Right. I'll keep you in suspense.
Okay. Right. Wrap up then.
Yeah. Well, I don't know whether... I hope that's helped. Well, basically, I just wanted this
episode. Well, it's just your story.
Well, yeah, but I just wanted this episode because I know for a fact this is going to get put in the public group and people are going to go... I've been dealing with this, and maybe I should take this a bit, because it took me 3 years to realize.
Again, as an 18-year-old of having to deal with this already, it's, you know, a lot of people don't deal with this issue, therefore carry it.
Oh,
through.
Sorry, one more point. Mm-hmm. So, people who think that as soon as they change their lifestyle, things are going to change.
Oh, yeah.
So, I was 9'5" in January. I was 9'7" in March, so exactly 2 stone heavier than when I first started tracking. And I remained that right the way through until November 2020. I did not change what I ate. And suddenly, so in August, my body trusted me enough to get my hormones back to normal.
Yeah.
And in November, my body trusted me enough to finally start losing some weight.
Right.
And I'm not stressed about it.
Where are you now?
8'12".
Right, okay. So you've lost about 0.5 stone. Right.
Not purposefully.
No.
Not changing anything.
And the training has gone up.
Not forcing myself to not eat when... And I'm just going with what my body tells me to do. And I'm not fussed about whether I lose any more, whether I gain any more. Quite honestly, I just want to deadlift another 10 kilos.
You have different goals.
Exactly. So it proves a point. Thanks for listening / watching. I hope it's been useful.
See you on the next one.
Yeah. See you later.
Bye.
Goodbye.